Joy. Many events in life muster joy within us. Can you think of some? Maybe it was a birth, a marriage, an ordination or graduation, winning an important game, or completing a big contract. In all these accomplishments, joy may likely be a dominant emotion. Joy is a gift from the Lord.
Today marks the third week of Advent, a season recognized by the church around the world as a time to prepare our hearts and lives to welcome the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas. We track this season by engaging in the several rhythms, one of them being to light the candles, one for each week leading up to Christmas Day. Today, we light the third candle, traditionally called the candle of joy.
Joy and rejoicing are common themes during Christmas time and occupy several traditional English carols and songs, including Joy to the World, O Come, Emmanuel, Angels We Have Heard on High, among many others.
While you might currently have an array of Christmas tunes dancing through your head, know this. Music that calls us to rejoice is on a deeper level, also calling us to worship. Worship and joy go hand in hand. Joy wells up in our hearts to the point of song, laughter, and dance. And when this joy and delight are directed at God, that is worship.
At Christmas, we are challenged to be filled with joy and to worship Christ Jesus, our King. If worship and rejoicing are difficult for you at this moment, ask God to help you worship. In Isaiah 6:1-3, which Jesus later reads as a declaration of his purpose in Luke 4, we read that the Holy Spirit anoints and empowers in order to bestow upon us the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God is ready and able to teach you how to worship in joy and praise. Just ask.
So please pray with me. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the joy you infuse within us. We ask you to help us praise you, God, in the midst of our sorrows, and to choose joy regardless of our circumstances. Jesus, we are grateful for the joy that surrounds your birth. Help us to be joy-filled rather than filled with despair. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
First of all, just welcome everyone, especially those online. It's different for us, and still, even though we've been doing it for a while, it's still different. I'm still adjusting to how all that happens, so I just want to welcome all of you. But the thing is, you know, we're doing this Advent, we have the candles, and we have these same things, themes that we do every year, and the Christian church has done for a long time, and focused around hope, peace, joy, and love. And the thing is, I know for many, the holiday season seems everything but that. We have so much going on. We get so busy. But let's just talk about what almost everyone has. We get so busy that we forget even what's going on. The holiday season is often some of the busiest times. I've actually enjoyed, with the COVID virus, I've actually enjoyed the fact that some of the holidays are just lower key. It's like, just honestly, I'm almost finding like, wow, maybe we're putting a little too much effort in, you know, we're missing out on something here. If we really want to have these hope, peace, love, and joy, maybe we just need to slow down. And that's a big part of what even we, with our Advent conspiracy that we do every year, that we are, it's really about those things. But this year we've been forced to. So it's been interesting. But yeah, again, the holiday seasons often seem everything but these things that these candles represent. It's often a time where we think about those who are no longer with us. I thought of three things that cause tension during the holidays, three Ds: death, distance, and dissonance. So we have often death, we no longer have people with us, and we remember that during the holidays. Then we have distance. often people can't be with us, and we'd love for them to be there. And then there's often in families, there's dissonance, there's strife that causes problems, and we're reminded of that when all of a sudden we no longer, and when someone's not there. So there's just things that happen that can affect this joy that we should have, that we should have. Days are shorter. Now, some of the experts say the days are shorter, so that's why some of, you know, there's certain seasonal depression that can go on. But I know also it's a time filled with memories, good and bad. Memories, good and bad. I have some of my best memories of Christmas. The top one is probably visiting family in Minnesota. Just some of those things, we traveled up there, I think, for 3 or 4 Christmases when we were living in New Orleans. We traveled up to Minnesota and just hanging out, and I have a big family in Minnesota, so I don't know. I think I've probably 20 cousins up there or something. It's just crazy. Yeah, I won't count them now, but I have a big family up there. Get together and have a great time, go up to my grandpa's cabin and go out ice fishing on the lake and riding snowmobiles and just great memories. Another Christmas I remember, I don't know that I can remember anything that I got really, but I know the memory and I remember the emotion, the fact that I got so many things that I had on my Christmas list. I was probably 10, 11 years old, somewhere in there. And I know some of it was board games, but I can't remember what board games. But I know I remember that was that memory there, that was a very satisfying. I got the things that I wanted. I did get the socks and whatever else that my mom gave me, but I got some of those other key things that I wanted. So, you know, some of my best memories with Christmas altogether, and I've already mentioned some of those, but are really being with my grandparents. But again, that's where Christmas comes along, and I remember I no longer have any grandparents alive as of, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And so it's a sort of bittersweet memory then. Also, Christmas. And really I'm not trying to give a sob story here, but these are realities. These are memories that I have to sort through during Christmas. Christmas is a time where I also remember, and I've shared it here before, and I've shared it around Christmas time, but I had an older sister who died when she was 9 of a brain tumor. And it didn't happen around Christmas, but it became a family tradition as being a little, I was 7 years old, trying to process this, is when Christmas came and they had the manger scene, I said to my sister liked Cracker Jacks, or I liked them, I don't know which one it was, but whatever it was, I wanted to bring Cracker Jacks. So I said I wanted to give them to baby Jesus so he could bring them up to heaven to my sister. And to the dismay of probably many Catholic priests who came in after the service, and found Cracker Jacks in their manger scene, we as a family would go up and every Christmas put Cracker Jacks in there in remembrance of my sister. Again, just these memories that happen around Christmas. I have some very strong memories that you go, how can that bring joy? How can we find joy in the midst of this Advent season, or in the midst of even what's going on in our world right now? How can we find joy? We live in a weary world. Our sermon series that we're doing for Advent here is A Weary World Rejoices. We live in a weary world. Also often called a fallen world. We live in a world that just is not perfect. It is not perfect. And that's before we talk about anything that's been going on with, you know, riots and murder hornets and COVID-19 and everything else and presidential election drama and everything else. Before any of that, We still live in a fallen world. We still live in a weary world. So how do we rejoice in that? How can we rejoice in those times? James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? Consider it joy when you fall into trials. I know early on in my Christian walk, and I know Anya would know, but Joey Landon and my wife, but a few of you, and if anyone's watching here that knows Joey, but he would always say, you know, it's one of his things, but he would say, "Praise God in all circumstances." So I'd sort of follow this, and do it that, but it was a begrudging, "Praise God, I'm going through trials." I don't really think that that's what this means here. I think there maybe is a value to learn in that. I learned some value in there, but I don't think that's what it's saying here. I don't think it's saying, "Oh, Lord, I count it all joy. I'm going through this trial." It almost sounds to me like it goes along some of the other things that have happened throughout history. You know, that while there were people who liked to flog themselves, you know, just to feel misery and just to whatever reasons they wanted to do that. I know growing up in Catholic Church, I often looked at the kneeler. I thought of kneeling during service as punishment. Punishment. And I was so grateful when there was padded kneelers. And then sometimes you had, you know, the wooden kneelers, they were okay. But what was worse is when you went and you're in a Catholic service and they didn't have kneelers at all. There's some retreat I went on as a teenager or preteen, and it was just a Christian place. They didn't have the kneeler things, and it was concrete floor. And I'm like, oh Lord, I guess I'm suffering for you. You know, I don't think that's the type of thing it is. It's not that type of thing. So how do we count it all joy when things are not going well? Well, that's part of what I want to look at today. How do we have joy in a weary world? Often those answers take time to find. So I don't want to come to any of you today and say, "Guess what? My message, you're going to walk away with unspeakable joy. We're going to lay hands on you and your life is going to be all better." I really don't think there's a chance that maybe God has that for someone in here today. But I think for most of us, this is a journey to learn how to have joy, how to have this joy. So for most of us, one thing I can do, though, is I can encourage you and give you some tools to help you figure out how to find that joy. And I can also pray with you. I can pray with you. I think all the prayers of God are effective, but maybe you'd walk away with an amazing transformation. But we can pray with you today. We can pray online. Again, I just encourage anyone online, if at any time during this message or service, if you have an area of your life you need joy in, just type it in. Let us know. We will pray as a staff. Larissa, I believe, is back there moderating. I know that she will be praying there as she reads that on the computer. Just let us know. Again, there'll be opportunity at the end after communion. If any of you want prayer, we can come up. We'll do the Mass. We'll do it all as, you know, all appropriately. But if you do need prayer, we will pray with you. We believe in the power of prayer. So how do we have joy in a weary world? So we can respond to life's trials with genuine joy if we know that the Lord has a purpose for why he would allow those difficult times of suffering and trials. It's interesting, in James 1:2, this purpose for trials, when we look at the Greek in here, it's just something often, you know, agree, and it's just we're doing different languages. You know, if we even try and translate Spanish words, sometimes things don't always go well. But there's more to it. And again, it's one of those things where you probably need a sentence a few words to describe. So we get translated as patience, endurance, and some of those things. But knowing that God has something specific in our lives helps us respond with genuine joy. Helps us respond with genuine joy. When we understand that, in language here, that this endurance is about the ability to hold up under a trial. Hold up under a trial. God, maybe, this is something too, I just want to propose to you that often God may be answering your prayers. I know I was praying years ago for more love. Even I'd be singing the song, more love, more power, more of you in my life. And man, I'd just enter into the presence of God, and then I'd run into a person and mess up that presence so bad. And I'd feel like, oh, Lord, this is a trial. Oh, Lord, whatever. After about a year, I finally realized, wait, I've been praying for more love. God's been. And then I begrudgingly, when the other things happen, I think God was putting those people in my life. I'm praying for more love. God's giving me the answer. I'm just trying to run away from it. He's saying, here's a person that's tough to love. Let's let you take some time and learn to love. That's what you've been praying for, right? More love, more power. So I will tell you that I think often, guess what? Now I was able to engage on a different level. That trying person became a whole different thing for me. Now I knew the purpose. I had a purpose. I knew that there was an end to that trial. There was a reason for it. And we may not always know the reason, but I can guarantee you that there is a reason. If you are running through trials, God has something specific he wants to do in your life. He might even be answering one of your other prayers that you have. So what is joy? The Merriam-Webster dictionary says, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. You know, I think those are forms of joy. But when the Bible speaks of joy, I think we often don't have a full understanding. And again, just coming back to the fact that we try and get one word here, is our English understanding of joy really usually refers to an inward feeling that we have. But when we look at this Greek word and the way it's translated in other places and the root of it, and I'm not going to bore you with all this stuff, but the same word is often translated rejoice. It's about an outward action also. It's not just about, oh, I feel such joy. It's about an outward action, a form of worship, a thing that, oh, Lord, so my begrudging thing, Lord, I'm going to try and consider it all joy. That is not what's talked about here. This is an outward, Lord, I am glad that you are putting me through something so I can learn. Lord, where I ended up being with love is, Lord, I'm glad that you are putting this person in my life so I can be more like you and I can have the love for somebody like you've shared, like you want me to and I've asked for. Biblical joy should cause us to rejoice. It should cause us to rejoice. But in what? We'll get to that in a minute. I can answer that right now. But in what? What do we rejoice in? So first, I just want to establish something that, biblically, I would say that true joy comes from God. Not worldly things. True, pure, unadulterated joy comes from God. I'm not going to not say those other things aren't a form of joy, but that pure joy comes from God. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we see a list of the fruits of the Spirit. And joy is listed as being one of the byproducts of the Holy Spirit. If it's the Holy Spirit, if it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I believe that's a perfect joy. It's a joy that is perfect, unadulterated. One that we talked about peace last week, but the peace that passes all understanding. I would say that all of these fruits, that there is a sense at times of it passes all understanding because it's so pure and unadulterated. We just don't know it. And I was talking with someone else this week about just some of these things that often when we're used to something a certain way, we weren't talking about joy, but I tell you that if you're looking at joy and you're used to it a certain way, you may not even recognize it when it's the joy of the Lord. It might even feel awkward. You might even run from it because you're not used to it. You're just not used to it. None of this part's in my note, but I can, it's coming to my mind in an analogy, and it may, some people might be able to get it. But I know when I first started drinking coffee, adding cream and sugar and all that. And what really brought me over to not using cream and sugar was the first time I had a good cup of coffee, and I realized it, because guess what? I kept adding the cream and sugar, even to a high-quality cup of coffee. And then one day somebody said, dude, why don't you just try it without? And then but it was so different that it even took me a while to even be able to realize what a good cup of coffee that was. And I know some people maybe it doesn't relate, but yeah. It's something that can only come from God. It's an outward expression of what the Spirit is doing and influencing our lives. So can this happen in a still in a weary world? We can choose to respond to life's trials with joy when we consider God's purpose for those times of suffering. In James 1:2, it talks about, there's a little thing here that I think helps clue into how do we get joy. How do we get that joy? We go and look in the Greek a little bit more, and we see some versions say count or consider, but count it all joy. Consider it all joy. And I think we often miss sort of what's being said, even though that's fairly clear in some sense once you realize it. But this is really about, let's list it all out and say, can I have joy? Can I count and consider? Let me see. When I see all the good things that I have going for me, all the good things that God has done for me, all the good things, I have a house over my head, I have this, I have that, I have family, friends that love me, I have this person who may hate me, but guess what? I have these people who love me. To count and consider, it's just very clear. It's somewhat clear in the English language, but I think it'd be just sort of work past it. But in the Greek, it's absolutely clear. This is a contemplating and deciding, you know, what do I have to have joy over? I'm counting and considering everything I have to make joy. We should list, really, the way it's worded here is that we should list potential advantages of the situation. A month ago, I thought I had a hole in my floor that was this big. It ended up being that big, you know, so, but guess what? I got a lot of floor that's brand new. There's some good advantages to it. Wasn't what I wanted. I think I made it through without saying any swear words, but I was close a few times. Considering it all joy. Thayer's lexicon says of this word that it denotes a belief of resting not on one's inner feeling or sentiment, but on the due consideration of external grounds. But simply saying, again, we just need to, we can't just rely on our emotion. We have to sit there and sometimes I think we have to just sit there and convince ourselves that we should be joyful. And because we look at the facts and we look at what's going on. So, and even there's the old hymn or chorus that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. A little side note, it's a cool thing to do. If you ever do the prayer journal, just write down your prayer requests that you're praying for God to do, and then you flip back every once in a while and see, oh, wait, God's actually answering these prayers. that I had. But so is it possible to have joy to the fullest, even in the most difficult times? Well, here in James is saying, in the midst of trials and tribulations, simple word here, all, in James 1:2. And there's 83 times this word all is used in the Bible. And you know what it means every time?
All.
Oh, yeah. Good job. It's all. And it's a word that means completely and wholly. So, W-H, holy, which it's a completeness. So all joy. We can count it all joy. It's not just some joy, but we can experience all joy when we count what we have going for us. It's the fullest and most complete joy. Apostle Peter also writes about this kind of joy in 1 Peter 1:6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So we see again, I just want to let you know, it's not just one passage, and we can see this all throughout the Bible. There's a sense of rejoicing in the midst of trials and tribulation. In this time, first of all, understanding that joy is also an outward thing. It's not just an inward feeling. It's an outward expression. The fact that we need to count and consider these things, like, do I have a reason to have joy? And then also the fact that we can have whole, all joy, all joy. But with this, what is it? What is it that we can count to give us joy? What is it? In this Advent season, I think we can carefully consider this. Isaiah 12, the context of this scripture is it's prophecy about Jesus. We just had Isaiah was just talking about the root of Jesse and all these things. So this is still going on about about Jesus, prophesying about him. But it's saying, in that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. Can we rejoice? Can we have joy? I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. We have reason to have joy, even in the midst of a weary world. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Again, we have salvation, another reason to have joy. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Do we have reason to have joy?
Amen.
In the midst of a weary world, when we have death and suffering going on around us, when we have good and bad memories, as we go and we take communion, this is reason we can have joy that Jesus came and gave his life for us so that we can have salvation. No matter what happens in our lives, we can look to the cross. We can look to the cross and have joy. Again, sometimes it's even a bittersweet joy. That's probably a whole nother message, but we can have joy for the things that Jesus has done for us. As we take this, I just want you to contemplate on the life-changing power that's in the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Jesus did this, and this can bring us great joy. And there's other things that we could contemplate with communion, but today, that's what I do. I just take a moment for before we take the elements in just a short time, a few seconds, but just say, let's just count those things. Just go to my Lord, what can I have joy for? What is it that you've done for me? All right, as we take the bread, remembering Jesus gave his body. And then, as the blood of Jesus was given for the forgiveness of our sins and everyone else, and that's often what brings the weary world, is all those things. But Jesus gave his life for forgiveness from that. I just say, if you don't know that forgiveness today, online, in here, come talk to one of us afterwards. We would be glad to talk to you about that. Let's go ahead and take the juice. Amen. Lord, I just want to pray that you'd help everyone here to have joy today. That there be a great, unspeakable joy as we sing. I know Kelly loves these songs. He chose very upbeat songs. And Lord, as we close today with these songs, I just pray that you would rise well up that joy within us. For those who are not feeling joy, those online, even if you're sitting there without joy, Lord, I just pray right now that you would just release joy in their lives. Again, if you want prayer, you can come on up. And we will pray with you. Again, make sure you have a mask. We can pray with you up front if you need joy. And those online, if you need joy, please let us know. And just type it in the comments. Give the office a call and let us know.